Good evening. Can I be heard? There's a little message here which indicates possibly not. If somebody hears me, maybe could you let me know, please?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's good. Okay, we'll start very shortly. Okay, so I'm good evening, everyone. I'm riding in a car now. I'm not driving, but riding in a car. So that explains the different change in scenery. So we've been discussing the halachas of Amir La'akum, and I want to move to a different part of it now. And I think I mentioned the other night that typically, not only is a person not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do halacha for them on Shabbos, but you're not even allowed to benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew does for you, whether or not you solicited it, meaning certainly if you asked them to do it, but even if you didn't. So, okay, so that within, in that context, though, there is a specific definition of hana'a, of deriving hana'a, as follows. If you're sitting in a dark room, and an Einu Yehudi comes along and he sees you there, and he says, "Oh, let me help you out." Whether he says it or doesn't say it, but and he turns on the light, not for himself, he turns it on for you. So then you're not allowed to benefit from the light. And as I mentioned, if it's not your house, you even have to leave. If it's your house, you could stay there, but you can't benefit because that you if you use the light, that's called you're getting hana. Or for that matter, if you would turn on, let's say it's very very warm. And it turns on the air conditioning. Not so warm that, not so hot that a person can get sick, chas v'shalom, whatever, because then, then you'd be allowed to ask him. But assuming it's not, it's just, it's a bit uncomfortable. Oh, the air conditioning, you'd be more comfortable if the air conditioning was turned on and he turns it on. So that's called you're getting hana from his malacha. However, let's say it's a situation where he turns off a light. You're in a room. Or a person's in a room, the light's on in his room, and he'd like to go to sleep, but the light was left on, and he's unable to go to sleep because the light is on. So if a non-Jew would turn off the light, you would be allowed to go to sleep in that room. You would be allowed to benefit from the fact that now it's dark, because that's not considered a hana in regard to these halachas. Hana means when he created something positive. He created the light. He created the air conditioning. But if he took something away, even though you benefit from him having taken it away, now you could sleep, now you could rest, etc. But that's not defined as halacha. Excuse me, as hana'a in this context. And so for that reason, let's say we had this situation where a light was on, and a person left in a bedroom, and it got left on by mistake. And let's say it's the child's room, and the teenager just argument's sake, it could be anyone, but no way they're going to sleep with the light on, or it's going to take them hours to fall asleep, and they're going to sleep very fitfully, keep waking up, etc. So it would be permissible to actually solicit the help of a non-Jew to turn off the light. Now, I don't mean at this point. I don't mean by asking him directly, because then we get into our question of Daber Davar, but I mean by, this is where Remiza comes in. Remiza means by hinting, by making some sort of statement that just like stating the fact that, the lights on in my room, it's going to be really difficult for me to sleep tonight. And he gets the hint and he turns off the light. So that would be permissible. This is a prime example of Remiza, of hinting which is permissible, because if you hint for a non-Jew to turn on a light, it's not going to help you because you can't use the light anyway, even if you turn it on by himself, like I explained. But if you hint for him to turn off the light, then you'll be able to benefit from the lack of light. And that's where Remiza comes in. Now, it happens to be by this particular example of turning off a light, and maybe by many of the examples, it probably would actually be mutter to ask him directly if you had to. Why is that? Because turning off a light is a iser derabanan. Even though in the Mishkan there was a malacha of havara, and there was a malacha of kibui. Havara means kindling, and kibui is extinguishing. So there is a malacha of kibui in the Mishkan. However, in the Mishkan, the malacha of kibui wasn't for the purpose of that the light shouldn't be there, or that the flame shouldn't be there. It was for the purpose of creating. By putting out a flame, they were creating coals or embers, or it was a constructive act of creation, not an act of siluk, not an act of removing or doing away with the light. So when you do it, when we turn off lights nowadays, or you know, if a non-Jew turns off a light for you, he's not doing it for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan. He's doing it to be rid of the light, so the light won't be there. So that's inherently a durabanan. It was what's called a malacha shein esricha begufa, and it's a durabanan. And therefore, by a durabanan, to ask a non-Jew to do something which is only usher, even for a Jew, is only usher midurabanan, is permissible under certain circumstances. One of them being tzarech mitzvah, or like Onik Shabbos being an example. I mean, if you're not going to be able to sleep, or you're not going to be able to sleep properly, is you're going to have a rough night with the light on, and it's going to definitely take away from your Onik Shabbos, then that's a makom mitzvah. And then if you had to, you'd be allowed to ask the non-Jew outright, because you're only asked to turn off the light, because you're only asking him to do a derabanan, and you're allowed to ask him to do a derabanan, as I said, b'makom mitzvah. Other examples where you'd be allowed to ask him is b'makom hefsed gadol, if a person stands to suffer a great financial loss, unless the non-Jew does something. Like, I give an example, let's say he got a, these are actual cases that happened, but he got a delivery of a lot of frozen or frozen meat or fish right before Shabbos, or maybe even on Shabbos. Somehow it worked out. You don't expect a kosher place to be delivering on Shabbos, but it ended up, or it came right before Shabbos, and you weren't aware. There was no opportunity to put it into the freezer before Shabbos. It's a huge delivery of food, and if it sits out there the entire Shabbos, very likely it'll spoil, or it would certainly have to be cooked right away, which wouldn't be feasible. So even though fresh fish and meat maybe, and I'll say maybe, I don't want to get into all the details, maybe muktza, but muktza is the rabbana. So again, you'd be allowed to ask the non-Jew to do the derabanan of violating muktza and put the food away into the freezer so it doesn't get ruined. There are some other cases, but of where you could ask a non-Jew to do the derabanan. Maybe we'll get to a different point. But so what we're saying now is that therefore there is basis to ask him directly to actually turn off the light, and if he doesn't get a hint, you could do that. It's better to hint, though. Why is it better to hint? Well, first of all, because the shvus to shvus is mutter when you have a tzorech. And there's no real tzorech. If you could hint, there's no tzorech in the amira. There's no tzorech in saying it, if you could hint. That's one concept. But besides that, although I said malacha shein tzriuch guf is drabanan, but since the malacha of extinguishing is inherently a deraisa, it's a drabanan form of the deraisa. Malacha shein tzriuch guf, extinguishing it for the purpose other than the purpose of the Mishkan, is a derabanan form of a malacha deraisa. So it's not a pure derabanan. So therefore, it's better. It's better to avoid asking him outright. So if this is the situation comes up, like I described, it's better to hint to the non-Jew to turn off the light. That would be fine to do. If he gets the hint and he turns off the light, that's fine. If he doesn't get the hint, you could actually ask him outright. Now, when I said they're turning on a light, there's no way, because even if he turns it on his own, it would be usher. So first of all, many of you might know, that if he does it honestly for himself, he walks into a room and he wants to read and it's dark, so he turns on the light and he turned on light for his own purposes, or whether for whatever reason he wants the light and he turns it on, then you're allowed to benefit. And you're even allowed to tell him, let's say he needed the light for a minute and he's about to turn it off. You're allowed to say, well, please, leave it the way it is. You're allowed to ask him not to turn it off, to leave it the way it is. Once he turned it on for himself, so great, even though he doesn't need it anymore, but you're allowed to benefit from it and even ask him to leave it on. So we know there's the whether it's a joke or an anecdote or whatever about the person who the light's off in his house, and so the idea is he goes outside, he meets a neighbor, a guy, and he says, I got this great bottle of whiskey, it's so super, I'm enjoying it so much. And he starts getting a taiva for it, says, would you like some? Oh, sure, I'd like some. Yeah, he's like, sure, come, I'll be happy to share. You do me always so many favors, I'd be happy to share. So you bring him to his house, and the light's off, and looks around and says, well, what's going on? Where's the whiskey? He says, I don't know, I really can't find it. The light's off, I'm not sure. He says, I don't know if I'm going to be able to share it with you. He says, well, what's the problem? And he turns on the light because he wants the whiskey. And that's fine. I said, oh, thank you so much. Now you better have some whiskey for him. Otherwise, I don't know what the consequences will be. But that's a permissible thing. There's also a concept that if there's already light there, it's not pitch black. There's some light, but you'd like more light. So there's some light in the room. So once it is the room is partially illuminated, although you would like it to be more properly illuminated. So number one, if a guy actually does, the guy sees the lights off and he goes and turns them on, and now it's better, it's lighter, it's brighter, you're allowed to benefit from that. You're allowed to even, read comfortably then, even though till then you couldn't, you had to go over to the window or, stand under the light bulb and then you could barely see. But now there was some light, it was possible to see, it was possible to read a little bit. So that's considered Tosefes Hanoah. It's not considered outright Hanoah, it's Tosefes Hanoah. And that, according to many poskim, and this is, reliable halacha, it would be considered, you'd be allowed to benefit from that. And once you'd be allowed to benefit, so then again, there's even room that you could hint to him. You can't ask him outright because it's still a malacha d'oraisa. Assuming now I'm not getting into light bulbs, today's light bulbs maybe being drabon, and it's too much to bite off at one time. But let's just talk about old style incandescent light bulb. And he's doing Issa d'oraisa by turning it on. He's doing that which for you would be Issa d'oraisa, malacha d'oraisa. Nevertheless, therefore you can't ask him, Dabra Dover, you can't ask him, forget about the Hanah, but you want him to do a malacha, you can't ask him to do a malacha d'oraisa, even if you have a very big need for it. But if you could be merames, again, if you hint to him, and he gets the hint, so there's no, I didn't ask him, I hinted, I didn't violate Dabra Dover. And then he turns on the light, and the facts say, oh, stop, but how can I get Hanah? The answer is, I'm allowed to. It's not called Hanah in Halacha. It's called Tosefes Hanah. It's called additional Hanah. And additional Hanah, in this context, is permissible. Okay. We might have said a few Halachas, but I think we said a lot of concepts here. So maybe we'll hold it here for now, and maybe we'll try to lean out there to review it a little and build on it in Mirz Hashem next week. Okay, meantime, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and all the best. Bye-bye.
Shabbos, thank you.
You're very welcome.